and preach for us tonight. Go ahead, Brother Bingham.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. What a privilege to preach right after he sang. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn tonight to Exodus chapter 36. Exodus chapter 36. And I'll be a little vulnerable to you tonight. Try to preach a one-word sermon. Amen. So we're going to have a little quiz after this little passage right here, and you can guess which word I'm going to preach on. Don't worry, it's not too deep. Exodus chapter 36. While you're turning there, let me give you a quick update on the Brazilian scriptures that we shipped down to, tried to ship down to Brother Hernandez. We have finally come to the end of the internal investigation process that they say they did. And with no good news. And what we're in the process of right now is trying to see if the company is going to take responsibility for any of their part of the things that happened over the past, over 6 months now, since we shipped that pallet of scriptures. And so we're praying and hoping. From a customs perspective, and Brother Hernandez, he's done what he can do to try to find the shipment if it was seized by customs. That's not looking good right now. But from a DHL perspective, we are hopeful and prayerful that we will be able to recoup the cost, not only of the shipment, but also the value of what we shipped. And so please be in prayer for that. We've stepped through and jumped through a few different hoops they've asked us to start with. And we were expecting the first one to kind of fall through. And of course, it did fall through today. And we praise the Lord, because that could have been a 10-day process and it was really only about a two. So things are moving, but we're just, please pray that we can recoup that cost and put ourselves in a position where we can make another attempt. Amen. And if you have any questions about that, details beyond, I could stand here and tell you, talk all night over what's transpired the last 6 months. If you do have any questions on that, please get with me after the service, and I can definitely fill you in on some more detail or answer any questions you may have on that. But please do pray. God is able to protect that shipment. It may just reappear. We have no idea why he's got it safe wherever it is. And there's no telling what's going to come up in the future from it. So we have every reason to believe that God is still in control and that he's going to get the honor and glory in the end. And certainly he doesn't lose very often. Amen. So I don't feel it's a loss yet. I think God's going to have the last word in it. Exodus chapter 36, and we'll begin in verse 4. The Bible says, "And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. And every wise-hearted man among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and cherubims, and cunning work made he them." All right, anybody got a guess? No, sir. I'm sorry? Sufficient. No, not that one either. Now, oh, I'm surprised. I thought she saw on my computer earlier, and I was hoping she would be. Anybody else? I still haven't heard it. Come on, y'all got to come down to the bottom shelf with me down here. Okay, maybe one little step up from there. The word is stuff. Amen. What a good word. I can define that one for you here in just a minute after we pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be in church tonight. It is a privilege to stand behind the sacred desk and preach your word tonight. And Lord, there's so much stuff in your word. And we ask you, Lord, to teach us tonight through this word. And Holy Spirit, would you have your will and way in each and every heart here tonight? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so, I mean, that's as deep as I can go for a one-word sermon, is the word stuff. Amen. Have y'all been enjoying those sermons? Every single one of those is like, wow, and I'm engaged, and I'm looking through the Bible, and he's saying something, and I'm thinking of some other verse, you know, and it just, it's an amazing thing. And I have got to learn and make myself do more study in the Bible. Amen. The Bible says study to show that, not read to show thyself approved. Sorry. I don't have my steel toes on tonight either. That hurts, don't it? Doesn't say read. It says study. And so I know that I have a weakness there and something I need to get going on. But I started with the word stuff. Started easy. And I think God will bless it. I think we'll have a good time tonight. And, you know, if you let the Lord speak to your heart tonight, you'll get something. And maybe he'll mess with some of your stuff tonight in your life. Amen. So this word, I believe, just off of, I think it was used 16 times in 13 different verses in the Bible, okay? And I took 5 points from some of those verses tonight on what stuff, what should we do with stuff? What should stuff mean to us? And take your Bibles with me and go to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45 and verse 20. Here we are. We're talking about the children of Israel and Joseph has made himself known to his brethren, and they're going to go back and get Joseph's father and bring the whole family and all that they can bring back into Egypt. But the Bible says here with the instructions in verse 20, also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Now, I don't know about you, but I've moved plenty of times in the past. I know we have some other folks in here who have moved a lot of times, and you generally don't want to forget anything. You want to take it all with you. You even find some stuff that you're like, no, I don't want to take that. I'm leaving that. Right? But the Bible here is telling Abraham and his whole family and everything, regard not your stuff. What does the word regard mean here? It means to value. He said, don't place any value on your stuff. Why? Because I've got something better for you in Egypt. The good of the land of Egypt is yours. So what was he saying here? He was saying, don't worry about it. Don't worry about your stuff. I got better stuff for you. You know, what is it that you're holding on to tonight that if you would just let it go, God could give you something better? He's got something better ready, but you haven't let go of your stuff yet. And I can tell you, when we first got married, we had all of our plans, and we made some plans. We had some dreams, right? I've been hearing a lot of preaching about the American dream and those kind of things. And you do. You think about where you want to go in life and what you'd like to have and what you'd like to build. And we went out and found 5 acres, and we were paying on that and paying on that and paying on that and holding on to it and holding on to it. Down there in Texas, and finally, you know, it was more important to serve God. Amen. I knew by location. I knew by anything you could say about that land, whether it was how much money it was costing me, the location it was. I knew the Lord was never leading me to that little piece of property. We gave it up. And people at work were like, really? Because I sold it to a guy at work. And so everybody knew that I didn't make a single, we lost a lot of money on that 5-acre piece of property. Because I just got out from under it, basically. I freed up income, and that is all. After 12 years, 10 years. And so, oh man, you're crazy. No, I'm telling you, it's helping me focus on going the right direction. And I know, whether it's land, whether it's house, where whatever it is, it doesn't matter what God has for me. I just know that that's going to be better. So what stuff? What dream? What thing are you holding on to that you've placed a lot of value on? You're regarding it in your heart. But God said, you know what? Don't value that. Don't value it. Don't place value there. I got something better for you. Amen. Trust me. And sure enough, we're up here with 10 acres. I mean, if all it is comparison of property and house and those kind of things, it's way beyond whatever I could ask or think. But I know from a heart and a walk with God perspective that none of that matters. It's all that I'm in the center of the will of God, and therefore I can have joy and peace in my life. And that is the important thing, that God can say, yeah, place value on that. Amen. What does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everything else, it's all going to be added unto you. So regard not your stuff. Regard it not. Don't place value there. Luke 17:31 says, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him not likewise return, let him likewise not return back. Why? Because the stuff doesn't matter. That's not what's valuable. Because it's all going to stay here anyway, right? Rapture happens tonight. Where's all the stuff? Ah, they can have it. Amen? And so where do we place the value so many times in our life, I think, is a good question for us to have. So first thing we need to do with stuff is just don't place any value on it. Don't regard it. Don't regard it. Number two tonight, turn with me to 1 Samuel 25. I got to quit giving the references first so I can beat my wife there. There we go. First Samuel 25. Some of y'all probably know this story. We're dealing with this man named Nabal. And David's here with his troops. He's got 600 folks with him. And he's about to go off and fight and kind of get even with Nabal here. And praise the Lord, God sent a spiritual lady in front of him to stop him from doing some very bad things. But look at this verse with me, 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 13. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. Amen. They stayed by the stuff. These 400 men that were going forth to the front lines to fight the battle, to follow their commander into battle, they left behind a lot of things, and they left behind 200 soldiers there to stay by the stuff. So there's some stuff that we shouldn't be placing value on, but there's some stuff that does have some value that we should be protecting. The Bible says here that 400 men went on, but 200 stayed there. But what did it say in the very beginning there? It said, they girded on every man his sword. Those 200 weren't on leave. They weren't staying around and just relaxing by the fire. No, no, no. They girded on their sword, and they had a purpose to stay by the stuff, to guard the stuff, while the other 400 were taking care of business. And let me tell you, there's some things that you and I ought to be here protecting. You know, so many times we send missionaries to the front lines, but one of the most devastating things to a missionary is to go out and stand on the rock and stand on the Word of God and win souls to Christ and try to build a work for Him and do it all for fruit that abounds to our account as we give. And then they come home to a church that's dropped a standard, that's got the wrong kind of music, that's painted the backsplash black now, or invited entertainment into the church and weakened the preaching. What a horrible thing to come home to. It's important, church, that we stay by the stuff, that we protect what we have here. That is not only our pastor's job. Certainly, he will answer to God for his position and the responsibilities he carries. But for each one of us, we're here to make sure that we stick to the doctrines of the Bible, that we stick to the right standards, and that things don't get compromised, and that we have something that continues on to the next generation. Why? Well, yes, we're holding the rope. But there's some stuff that matters. The real valuable stuff ought to be protected. And let me encourage you tonight as another point further on this story. And in chapter 30 and verse 24, we are taught that the Bible says here, "For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike." What does that mean? Y'all remember this story, many of you. We've gotten down to the part where they've come back and they've brought all this stuff with them, and there's a great victory there. And the guys that went to do the fighting said, no, we're dividing it by 400. These guys just sat here. And David said, no. Nope. These 200, we're going to divide it by 600, and they're going to get exactly their share of the, because they did their part. They were faithful in their part. And can I tell you that God wants us to be faithful in our part? And when He says fruit that abounds to your account, let me tell you, He is going to make sure that the reward is going to be handed out just and right. We're getting just as much reward as that missionary is. Why? Because he's faithful in his calling and we're faithful in ours. And so stay by the stuff. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. As long as that's what God God's will for your life is to stay here and to be faithful, raise a godly family and be faithful in church, be faithful to missions giving and go out soul winning. Maybe you can't go out soul winning, but you can pray. Stay by the stuff. Saturday morning, is that a time to go out soul winning? Yes, but if you can't be here, what should we be doing? We should be at least thinking about those that are going out and making sure we pray and making sure we're staying by the stuff and supporting that spiritually through prayer. Our part of staying by the stuff is so important. There's so many doctrines, there's so many things that can't fall, that is
I hate to degrade it by calling it stuff tonight, but that's the topic of the message. But it needs to be protected at all costs. So stay by the stuff. Don't regard your stuff. Stay by the stuff that matters. Number three tonight, let's go to Nehemiah chapter 13. We got some more stuff over here in the book of Nehemiah. Look at Nehemiah chapter 13. Look at me with verse 7. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. There's some bad stuff. There's some stuff in our life. There's some stuff in our hearts. There's some stuff maybe even physically within our houses, within our control. And it's bad. The Bible here calls it evil that they were doing. And he cast forth this stuff out of the chamber. It's very interesting how this happened. And I want to try to hopefully apply it correctly to our hearts and our lives here. Because there's some bad stuff that doesn't belong in this temple. And that could be physical, whether we talk about alcohol and drugs and all these other things. Maybe it's just a bad eating habits. Amen. We're supposed to be taking care of this temple physically, but we're also supposed to be taking care of it spiritually. And there's some bad stuff out there, spiritually speaking, that we allow in so many times. Let me show you what happened here. I'm going to use Nehemiah here as a kind of a type of the Holy Spirit tonight. And it says, he came into Jerusalem and understood the evil that Eliashib and Tobiah did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. What's the Bible say about the devil? It says, give no place to the devil. Something got in and made a place. And there was stuff in there. And Nehemiah was grieved by that stuff. I think the Holy Spirit is grieved by some of the stuff that we keep around in our lives and in our hearts. Grieved. What did he do? He went in and cast it forth out of the chamber. He cleaned up that chamber. He repurposed that chamber. In verse number 9, then I commanded and they cleansed the chambers. So let's work on this real quick in our own life and let's apply this. What we have is the flesh is in control. The flesh has created some special little chambers in our life. And the devil's been given place in those areas. Now, we're supposed to kick this flesh out of the way. Was Eliashib anywhere near this chamber when the Holy Spirit cleansed it out? When Nehemiah went in there, no, he wasn't there. He was nowhere around. And so many times we keep the flesh around while we're trying to clean up our life. And then we have this little conversation. Oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit kind of wants to cause this evil. The Holy Spirit kind of wants this thrown out. He wants to take the... Oh, but that... The flesh is still there saying, oh, that's not so bad. Oh, just one little... The whole idea is to open every area of our heart, kick the flesh as far away, and let the Holy Spirit come in and do the work that He can do. This is the problem. So many times we don't experience victory in our life. What is it? What stuff is still in our heart because, hey, we kept the flesh around while the Holy Spirit was trying to clean up? And the flesh got in the way. The desires got in the way. Is it the Spirit that wants to hold back one little thing? No, he wants to cleanse completely. Completely. And so if we can get to a place where, just like this is, where we can realize, you know what? I can go through all these areas of my life, and I may not even have the spiritual eyes to notice that that's evil. I just need to separate myself completely and say, God, whatever you want to do, clean it out. I will give it all up to be clean. Give God, or I'm sorry, kick the bad stuff out of your heart. That's not a fleshly action. That is not a work done by the flesh. That is a work done by the Spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the flesh is nowhere near that scenario. The Lord showed me that today. I was reading this verse, and I'm like, wow. If I want to get clean, there shouldn't be a battle anywhere in us about whether or not to be clean and remove evil from our lives, right? That shouldn't be a battle. That should be just the biggest surrender. Amen. That's a good spiritual word. I'm thinking of a Dr. Seuss vacuum cleaner that just sucks everything out and just gets rid of it all with nothing. If you're standing in the way, you're going to. And you know what? If the flesh is there, let it go too. Oh, I have so many problems in my life. I'm trying to clean my life up. No, quit trying to clean your life up and just get along with the Holy Spirit of God. Kick the flesh out. Kick all those thoughts out. Kick those desires out and let Him do the work. Amen. It's not you can't. It's you won't let Him. Amen. Kick the bad stuff out of your life. Can I tell you, it's not a physical feeling, but it is a burden. If the Holy Spirit is grieved by it, your saved spirit is too. And you don't even know it's affecting you. This evil that's in the chamber of the temple, and you won't let it go. You don't realize the effect it's having on your life and how it affects your relationship over here or your decision-making over here or... Just let it go. Let God clean it out. What was the first point? Don't place value on that stuff in there. He's got something better. He's got something better. Kick the bad stuff out. Let the Holy Spirit remove whatever and anything from your life that He wants to remove. It'll be a great day. It'll be lighter than you've ever felt before. And I know the feeling. Physically speaking, I could tell you the story and illustration where I was in the Guard for 20 years. And we did 1 weekend a month, and we did 2 weeks out of the year on the military side, but I was full-time civilian. And so we flip-flopped, and we did all that, and I was full-time out there for most of that 20 years. And then when I came home from my final deployment, from Kuwait, I came back and my position had been converted to a civilian position to where I did not have to be in the military anymore to keep my civilian job. Lo and behold, I hit my 20 and I was able to retire and get out of the military. And you know what? I thought, okay, this is going to be great. I will lose a little bit of income, right? But I won't have to miss church 1 weekend a month. I will never have to deploy again. I won't have to you know, and so these things come to your mind of what you will not have to do. But I had no clue, and I cannot explain the burden that was lifted when I did retire from the military. I stayed in the same exact job day in and day out. But there was a conversation going on over here. Oh, I don't have to care about that. I just need to make 8 airplanes fly. Oh, we got a PT test. Oh, we got a health thing. Oh, we got a shot. Oh, we got a this and that. You know everything I'm talking about. All these little details is like, oh, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Oh, what about these training records? I don't have to do training records anymore. Woo! I mean, just all this, the burden that was lifted on just my daily job was so much more than I could have ever imagined. And let me tell you, if you let that one thing be removed by the Holy Spirit that you're clinging onto, that stuff, and you allow it to be kicked out, you won't be able to imagine how light, what a heavy burden that was that you didn't realize you were carrying. Let Him do it. Let Him work on you. Let Him remove it. Let Him clean it out. Number 4 tonight. We spent a long time on that one. Number 4 tonight. We'll try to get done by 8 still. Okay. Joshua chapter 7. Y'all know, probably know where we're going with this. Oh, Achan, right? Joshua chapter 7. So here we go. Achan's already committed his sin. They've already not talked to God about going to Ai, and they got slaughtered there, or they lost some men there, lost that battle. And we come to verse number 11 here, where the Lord, let's start in verse number 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. I think the Bible's trying to tell us that we need to make sure that we give God His stuff. There is some stuff in our life that belongs to God. It belongs to God. And we could talk about tithes and offerings, but let's talk about time and talents too. Let's talk about, hey, we are bought with a price, are we not? Give God His stuff. Give it over. He's pretty serious about it, if you read this story. Pretty serious. There's stuff that belongs to God that we should be giving back to Him, not keeping for ourselves. So what is it? What is the thing? It's not evil. It's not a bad thing. It's just God's and not yours. A missions commitment is something God asked for, right? That we're right to set aside and consider it holy unto the Lord and make sure it ends up in the right place. You know, so many times it's preached different ways, and we say use different phrases to describe things. And And certainly I don't think anybody here has the wrong idea, but, you know, tithes and offerings belong to God. And if God asks you to commit something to Him, I think that's not leftovers. He's still expecting the best. He's still expecting the first. Amen. Tithes, offerings, and missions, and then the rest of it. And I could go on and on and on about the things that God technically owns and holds the title to in our life that we should be just turning right back around and giving to Him. You've seen reality TV shows where this good Christian testimony stands up and starts singing and using their talent for themselves, and then they win, and it's two years later, and there's nothing about them that screams Christian anymore. The world has taken something that was God's and wadded it up and destroyed it. Used it for somebody else's glory. The talents God gave us, we should be using for Him. Now, I'm not saying that we don't earn a living with some of our talents. Amen? But who ends up getting the glory for that? God. Through the tithes and the offerings. That's our worship. That's our recognition that He gave us the power and the skills and the knowledge to be able to do what we do and acquire the income. You see, God owns everything. All the stuff in the whole world, He owns it all. And we say that and we believe it, but do we act that way? Do we give it to Him like we should? So give God His stuff. Is there something you have that's His? Give it up. It's amazing. Whatever that thing is that you're placing value on so much more than pleasing God. No. Remember, He's got something better. He's got something better. There was another, I don't think I wrote it down here, but I think there was another use of the word stuff. You think of Lot's wife. When she turned around. What? I think stuff is used in the context of that story. What was it back there? What was it in that evil place that was more important than obeying God right then? I don't know. But it cost her. She held on to it. She looked back at it. It was more important. She wouldn't give it to God. She wouldn't let it go. And number five, and finally tonight, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10. It's deep enough for y'all tonight. Yeah, we got some more stuff in the Bible to look at here, so read with me in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Verse number 22, Therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. Okay, here we are. There, Israel wants a king, and God's going to give them exactly what they want. And he's going to use Saul. Where's Saul? I believe Saul's problem, his whole entire life, was that he did not want to surrender to God. You can't tell me there was a person in Israel at this time didn't know there was going to be a king picking going on. It was happening. I'm sure it was announced, spread around, spread abroad. The rest of the family showed up. Something about Saul doesn't want to be the man, doesn't want to surrender, he's hiding in the stuff. Well, he's my pick, so go get him. And you would think, okay, well, I guess I can't get out of it now. I might as well surrender. No, and you know the whole story of his reign. Why is Saul hiding in this stuff? Something he's holding back from God. Something he doesn't want to surrender to God. Something he doesn't want to do for God. He said, why did Saul have so many problems? I don't think he wanted to surrender to this call in the beginning. He just kind of got peer pressured into it. And just never, never surrendered his life to God. What are you hiding in the stuff? Are you hiding? Is, you know, this, I'm not trying to split a church or anything, but is Moore Baptist Church your stuff? Is it the stuff you're hiding in? Is God working on you, trying to get you to do something, surrender to do something, to do what God wants you to do, and we're just comfortable to hide here in the stuff? The job? What's the excuse? What's the stuff that's holding you back from actually surrendering? I don't know who's listening online tonight. I don't know. But Saul here was hiding in the stuff because he did not want to surrender to God. He didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. And it's no wonder it all came crashing down around him when he tried to do it his own way, in his own power, in his own strength. I've come to this conclusion here recently. It's interesting that I could give $1 million a week to missions. If I could do that, and I did, and God said, give $900,000 a week to missions. Did I seek him? Did I know it was $900,000? And God said, go. I'll give $1 million a week to missions. I want you to go. Are we in an obedient state or a disobedient state right here? That's the whole point in missions, is it not? To be doing exactly what God wants us to do. And the reason Faith Promise Missions Conference is such a revival for so many Christians is because it's the only time of year we really seriously seek God's face for a very specific instruction from Him. Uh-oh. Why don't I have revival in April? Are you seeking God for something very specific with a desire to please Him and just do what He... Please reveal what you want me to do and I will do it. Do we have that heart in April? No, because we did it in February and He answered us. He just proved to us again that He can answer a prayer, a specific one at that. And then He's going to reward us because we obey that and we stay faithful to that. But hey, for the rest of the year, we're not paying off God. He's asking us to keep on seeking Him. Why don't I have perpetual revival in my life? Well, I'm not doing the things that I did during missions conference. It really is that simple. Are you hiding in the stuff? What is it God wants you to do that you're not doing? He's asked you to do something. Can you hide from God? You see how foolish Saul was? He was hiding in the stuff. God knows exactly where we are, doesn't He? Well, we stuffed a lot of stuff into this message on stuff. Amen. Hopefully you're spiritually stuffed tonight. Now, let's get serious during the invitation now. And just ask yourself some questions. Ask God some questions. Be honest with God. Are you holding on to some old stuff and missing out on the stuff God wants to give you? Maybe you're one here tonight that's letting some important stuff fail in your life. You're compromising in some area. Well, it's okay. We can watch that. We can listen to that. We can allow that into our home. No, stay by the stuff. Stay by it. Stay strong. Your kids need that. Because the one little thing they remember is many times the worst thing, right? Did God show you some bad stuff that you need to cast out tonight? Do you have some of God's stuff that you need to give Him? Put rightfully back in His possession? Are you hiding tonight? Doesn't matter where you're hiding, what you think you're hiding behind, it's just stuff. God can see right through it. Come on out. Come on out into the light of His way. Let Him use you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This was not a salvation message tonight, but there was definitely some spiritual things talked about tonight that may have pricked some hearts. And so I want to ask, is there someone here tonight who would raise their hand and admit and say, I do not know that I've ever trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I've been born again. I don't know that. If I died right now, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. Maybe you're listening online and you don't know the answer to that question. Well, the Bible says you're not saved, and the only power that you have is in the strength of the flesh. And the only thing you have to offer God is these filthy rags, because the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ, the true righteous Son of God, died for you, and He wants to give you His righteousness. So that when God looks down upon you, He doesn't see a sinner. He doesn't see a dirty rag of own personal righteousness, but He sees His Son and the pure righteousness that He's clothed you with upon salvation. Would you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, tonight? If you're not saved, you need to be saved. Christian here tonight, there's some hard questions. We had a little fun with a lighthearted subject, but it brings up some very serious questions, and there's something here tonight that God spoke to your heart about. There's no way a shotgun message like this didn't hit every single person within the sound of the Holy Spirit's voice tonight. Would you do what God wants you to do? Father, we love You. Thank You for the opportunity to preach tonight. I pray, Lord, that You would accomplish Your will in every heart. Lord, help us to submit to You. Lord, do the work that You want to do, for You have the best in mind for us. And we thank You and praise You for all.